This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In it, back to throw, pressure coming, lots of pressure, gets away from it all. Now he's running downfield and throws it deep to the corner of the end zone.
I got it,
it's caught, touchdown Miami.
Oh my gosh,
that's unbelievable.
Chris Myrick
Chris
on the touchdown.
Myrick, and what a throw by Sinnott.
What is up, Dolph fans, and welcome to the Miami Dolphins fifth quarter postgame show. Seth Levitt and OJ McDuffie are here with me. I am Travis Wingfield. Guys, we just watched our first ever Dolphins game together, and Big Seth, I was ready for a boring preseason joke here, but we all kind of lost our collective minds in the booth after that game.
Who would make
touchdown.
A boring preseason joke?
Not you, never you. Reed Sinnott to Chris Myrick, 34 yards, and the Dolphins win. Seth, what do you think? Reed Sinnott out there, man.
Listen, the guy, he had to play the whole preseason game, right? And you know, probably excited juice for a guy like that to get a chance to get that many reps. But man, oh man, he fought to the bitter end. And you're right, he finished the preseason strong. And we're in here celebrating and enjoying this thing, not just because the preseason is over, but it was a fantastic finish.
Yeah, I love Reed. I love his whole story, man. And, you know, you think about it, man. Quarterback situation for the Miami Dolphins looks like it's in pretty good hands, right? Big Seth and Travis.
I agree.
I mean, you talk about Tua, you know, and then we got, of course, we got Jacoby. We also got Sinnott to win it, you know what I mean?
So I like that.
Yeah, that's a hell of a finish, man. And you know, and to take a wallop at the end of that, too, man. Great job, man. That was fun to watch.
I was glad to hear his parents correct the pronunciation on his last name because a lot of folks were calling him Sinnott. It's Sinnott. So Sinnott to win it.
Sinnott to win it.
It works. That's the perfect segue for that. He goes 22 for 33, 343 passes. Passing yards, of touchdowns, and a pick. And like you guys mentioned, I mean, no Tua Tagovailoa, no Jacoby Brissett juice to come out here and just deal like that. I mean, what does that do for his confidence or for the future of his career in the NFL? I mean, this is a game where you got to make an impression. He sure did that.
Yeah, I think it does a lot. You know, for one, confidence is one thing. You know, and these guys have done so much work together. You know, I know he's done a lot of work with Kirk Merritt. You know, I know he's worked some more other times with some of the other guys, man. But, you know, everybody works so hard, but not everybody gets these opportunities. So when you get these opportunities, you do what Reed did today and you take advantage of them, man. You get out there, and no matter who you're playing with or who you're playing against, you know, you make the most of the situation. And that's what he did today. And you can tell these guys have done a lot of work in the offseason together. It didn't look like – I mean, you look at the penalties, you look at, you know, the false starts or anything like – everything looks like it was similar to what we've seen from our starters.
Fair point.
Which is good. It's a testimony to how well coached this team is and how well these guys pay attention to detail. So it was fun to watch, man, no matter what. Anytime we get a win, and we joked about it before the game was over, you know, Reed's going to be sore tonight.
He is.
He's going to have a long plane ride home. It's going to be a tough plane ride home.
It's got to be feeling good, though,
you feel a lot better with a win, and everybody else feels. How about the guys that didn't play? How are they feeling right now? You know, they were jumping around. They were jumping around in their shorts and T-shirts. They're going to have a fun ride home, too, man. So it's always good to win no matter what. Preseason, regular season, postseason, getting a win, getting on a plane, especially on the road. It's such a great time.
Seth grabbed a photo of the boss man, Jason Jenkins himself, on the sideline right behind the play there, behind Chris Myrick, and he kind of had the stern look on his face like, is that a touchdown? And then he saw the touchdown, threw the arms up, and that was really the entire Dolphins sideline all game, Seth. I mean, we sat here and watched it early on. I saw Christian Wilkins and Raekwon Davis barking and Zach Sealer getting pumped up over there. When you're on that sideline in a preseason game with all the starters, maybe this is more of a juice question, but you've participated in this yourself.
in a different capacity, yes, absolutely.
But in a certain sense, I mean, it's a different approach, a different environment when you're in these exhibition games. But the juice is still there, right?
Yeah, look, 60% of the roster just wants to get into the regular season, right, Juice? They want to get out of this thing. Obviously, there's guys here that are fighting for their dreams and their careers, whether it's here with the Dolphins or with another team. But, everybody – well, it's a little different this year because there's no overtime, right, which I think the only thing better than shortening the preseason from four games to three games was having no overtime as a part of that as well. But, either way – everybody wants to go home with a win. And this is a budding rivalry, the Dolphins and the Bengals, right? This is a kind of a budding rivalry for different reasons. But what a great finish. And you're right. I think that just – it puts the right cherry on top of this preseason for this Dolphins team, from the last guy on the roster all the way up to, whoever you want to say is the lock of all locks on the team.
And, OJ, we'll get into this later on in the show, but, I mean, we kind of noticed it was a little bit chippy out there, and I wonder, 35 Miami Dolphins did not dress and play in this game, and Seth talks about there this – Dolphins-Bengals rivalry. Maybe it's the orange colors or something. I don't know, the fight for the orange color. But they get heated every single time. Last year we saw head coach Brian Flores go out onto the field and defend his guy. And, I wasn't too happy with it as a person that loves this football team and to see those guys kind of taking those shots at our punt returner. But, I mean, is that a big reason why you keep your guys in the sideline as far as this last preseason game goes?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons. I think, more importantly, I think, Travis, we've seen enough in those first two games of the guys that we love. And there's some guys that hadn't gotten a lot of work that need to get some work today. Seeing guys like Jalen Phillips out there. So I did see a couple guys out there a little longer. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But, no matter what, you want to leave everywhere you go with a win. With a W. You sit there and you say, well, we're just trying to get better today. You say all those things that, coaches and players say. But bottom line is, the 29-26, you want to get out of there with a win. And I think that's one of the most important things. And you have to teach your players and your team, your organization, how to win, whether it's preseason or not. So many people are so used to just whatever. Learning how to win and knowing how to win and not accepting a loss is huge. So no matter what it is, these guys going out there in the preseason and playing their hearts out and, playing for whatever, whether it's for the Miami Dolphins or the other 31 teams or anything, you can see it. I love seeing what I love seeing was the guys that have quote unquote made it, feeling great about the guys that went out there and laid on the line today, man, because they all struggled and they grinded out, for the last few months and, together. So to see somebody in their position or see somebody on their team, go out there and play well and make a big play, that's what I love seeing. Grown men out there enjoying their teammates, their friends, their buddies succeed out there.
Seth, did I finally get you into the preseason action here? I mean, we talk about the excitement. It's pretty fun today.
It's pretty fun when the preseason is over, Travis, and I agree with that. But, Juice, what you were just talking about, so I can't imagine, maybe your rookie year is the number one draft pick and you wanted to earn the respect.
He throws that number one draft pick in every
single time. I mean, that's a fantastic, right? How many people get that opportunity in life? I'm not saying it in any negative capacity, but maybe that rookie year you were trying to get that love even in the preseason from the veteran guys. But pretty quickly, you became the vet that was cheering on the guy who was 8, 9, 10th on the roster or whatever it might be in the preseason. What did that mean to you when you saw one of the young receivers making big plays in the preseason? How much did you get excited and jacked up about that? And did they earn your respect when they went out there and balled out?
Yeah, these guys, man, it means a lot to the veteran guys to see, the young cats go out there and do well. Because I remember when I was that young cat, and I remember Urban Fryer – coming up to me, and I remember Brian Cox and Lewis Oliver and these guys when I had a touchdown in the preseason my rookie year, or a punt return or a kickoff return, and you see that love, and you just want to, honestly, these young guys want to make sure that they're noticed by some of the guys that have kind of made it in the league, or that are starters in this league, man, and your hard work seems like it's starting to pay off. So when you look up, man, when my first touchdown I had in the NFL was a kickoff return against the Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, I didn't know. I promise you, I'd just gotten taped up the week before by a bunch of veteran players, you know, and thrown in the cold tub. So I thought they hated me, right? So I take this kickoff back against Atlanta. And who are the first guys that meet me in the end zone were the guys that take me up. So I say, okay, they do like me. I'm good. I'm good. Right. You know what I mean? So I understand what some of these young guys are going through when they go out there and they make good plays and they see the veterans and the guys that are starters appreciating it as well.
Now, Travis, the part that he left out is that he almost missed the plane on the way to the trip. So it's a good thing you did that. You had a little extra motivation juice.
I did. It was Terry Kirby's fault. We'll leave it at that.
I missed my first bust in my first game. Right. So, hey, the rookie mistakes are abound here
he won up you, juice. He missed the first bust and took the Uber with who? Oh, I don't know. Hall of Famer Jason Taylor.
Right.
Hey, might have been a dream come true. A happy accident in that sense. We're going to have stats, press conferences, game ball. Talk about the bubble guys that you guys thought impressed the most in this game. I also want to get OJ's take on the approach to the preseason this year, because we talked about it, Seth. Copycat league, right? But there's nothing to copycat this year because it's all new for everybody. So we're going to talk about all that here coming up on the Dolphins' fifth quarter postgame show. You also will hear from head coach Brian Flores on tonight's game. Again, the final score, Dolphins 29-26 to finish the preseason 2-1. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. In season or off season, you and your car make a great team. Take care of it with Chevron with Techron for unbeatable cleaning and mileage. It's a winning play. Chevron, together ahead. And we come back from this break, OJ. We talked about this a lot throughout the course of the day because we're trying to put together a show here for a third and final preseason game. And this used to be kind of what you would see in the fourth preseason game, right? Where all the starters are in their ball caps and they got the sunflower seeds. We talked about that already. But I was curious to get your take on this because we noticed some guys having some good play, some good moments, some guys having some not so good moments. And I kind of told you about some of these guys having really strong training camps. I wanted to get your take on this about how coaches or even the guys in the locker room on the playing field will kind of weigh what they see in these exhibition games where it's only these four and now in this case 3 days out of the entire month compared to those 20 or maybe even your day, the 2-a-days where you have 40 practices right in the month of August.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's really interesting because you never know how a coach, looks at evaluating a player. But what you do want to see is guys go out there and work hard and practice. But you also want to see if it translates and moves into a game situation. And sometimes it doesn't. Some guys, we've seen some guys that don't practice for crap, but then they go out there and they're ballers on game day, and vice versa. What you don't want to be is a guy that really has great practices, and then when the lights are on, you don't shine like you should. And that, you know, you got to be able to – on game day is more important than anything, obviously. So, I mean, you can show as much as you want of potential in practice, but really, really counts, you know, when it's – you know, we got the uniform on with your name on the back of it, you know, and everybody's – you know, there's no more like the defense is wearing aqua and the offense is wearing white. You're on the same color. That's when it really needs to shine, man. So I feel bad for guys sometimes that you see them have great training camps, but then every single time they get an opportunity in the preseason games, they don't shine or they get beat or they drop balls or whatever, man, because, I mean, depressing. They are pressing, and I get it. It's their livelihood. Their lives are on the line, man. Their dream is on the line. What they grew up as a kid thinking about is on the line, man. So it is important to show in practice, but you also have to show that when game day comes, the lights are on, that you can be that same guy.
It's the biggest high-stakes business there is, really. I mean, guys, you talked about fighting for jobs, coaches or players or otherwise.
1,000%.
It's high-stakes stuff, man. And, you know, Seth, we talked about this a little bit as well, about this third preseason game and the Dolphins kind of get here healthy enough, I think, to head into New England week one. And we got out of it today with not really anything serious, I think, as far as injuries go. But what's your take on this as far as how the Dolphins kind of came into this preseason? Because, you know, OJ talks about it. I'm thinking about maybe in his time before the Twitter days, you didn't have the play-by-play Travis Wingfield training camp updates, you know, and you had only the three or four preseason games to go off of. But now you got these daily camp reports, so fans are getting a hold of that. But back to the main point, you know, we saw a lot of teams around the league this week play a lot of their starters and main guys in this third game. What did you think of the Dolphins' approach to really unload the clip, so to speak, in those first two games and the rest guys here in week number three?
Yeah, well, you know, going back to what you said and it being a copycat league, it's kind of fascinating to see every team did it a little bit differently. And so I think that was a little bit interesting, and it'll be even more interesting to see how that develops from year to year. But look at me trying to find something interesting here in the preseason. I don't want to say you've brought me all the way over to the dark side, Travis. But, you know, look, and Juice was saying this after last game. I've seen enough of him. I've seen enough of him. Get him out of there. And I like what Coach did. And it was fun to see some of these younger guys. It really is. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more later. It's going to be hard to make this team. This is a harder roster to make than it's been in a few years. And so it was fun to see some of these guys get some extra work. There were some guys that we wanted to see and maybe some guys that we didn't see enough of. But I agree with the approach, not that Coach Flores cares if I agree or not. But, you know, why risk it? Especially there are some starters that have been banged up throughout camp. And I like that we have this extra time between the end of the preseason and the start of the regular season. It's a little bit different than what we're accustomed to. And let these guys get healthy for when it matters most.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and the little things, you know, it takes – honestly, you get banged up early in the season or late in camp, it is a tough deal trying to get back to healthy, you know, because you really need time. And there is no time in the NFL. There's no, you know – 30-day or 60-day DL like right. You get in baseball, or, you know, 10-day you get maybe in basketball because they have 82 or 180, you know, 182 games. When there's only 16 or 17 games this year,
yep.
Every single week is so critical. So if you get nicked early, man, it's a monster to deal with all year long. And nobody wants to be in the training room all year long in the training room.
Not anybody who's going to make the team. That's
morning,
for sure.
Afternoon, evening. I remember when I got hurt late in my career, they were coming in my house for a fourth treatment.
You had the night treatments?
Yeah, I had the night treatments, man. So I'm like, damn. So, yeah, getting banged up right now. And you said it best, Seth. What's best for these guys now is the amount of time they're going to have between that opening game. And some of the little injuries, Travis, are going to be able to get taken care of or at least minimize as much as possible because they'll have so much time to get that work in.
Now, you'd take the on-call house call treatment nowadays, wouldn't you?
Oh, I definitely would, man.
They're not sending it out, though, now.
No, they're not.
They're not coming knocking at 81's door these days anyway. But, you know, I wanted to look at something here because around the league, we talked about this a little bit before coming on the air, that a couple of prominent running backs went down this preseason, and they're going to be lost for the entire year. And these young guys, too. J.K. Dobbins just yesterday lost for the entire season. Travis Etienne, the first-round draft pick of the Jaguars, he's gone. And then Cam Akers from the Rams, we see them replace him with a new running back they traded for in Sony Michel from the Patriots. So I think it's a good thing the Dolphins were able to get to this point, get their guys valuable work. It seemed like that rep count number, the magic number, was about 70, 80 reps for some of these guys. I mean, we saw the first team offensive line play a good chunk of the preseason. And, you know, Seth, I think you talked about this in the previous segment. Penalties were low, and the Dolphins' right. yardage domination for all of these games. And you know, we talked about this as well with how the Dolphins' threes started the game against the Bengals' ones, and I think they're twos on defense in this game. But Miami held their own against those guys. And so when they played Atlanta with our ones and their twos and threes, it was a rough shot, you know, run up and down the field.
Indeed.
But they showed up today, didn't they?
They really did. It was impressive to see. And look, some guys were saying our third team, but there's some decent players that were out there playing, or some young guys that we have high expectations for. And it was great to see. It was great to see the want to, and it was great to see, like you said, that they could hold up against guys who are going to have jobs. They're not just playing against other guys that may not be playing in the NFL this season. So it was really great to see. And I love that you talked about the penalties or lack thereof. And it just, you know, Juice mentioned it too, that this is a Brian Flores coach team. Yep. I mean, this is something that's important to him. He does not like to give up. It's hard enough to stop offenses in this league or you know, for your defense to do the things that they need to do. But when you give up yards, and you're just giving them away because you're not disciplined, I imagine that's got to be a tough pill to swallow for this coaching staff. And they don't have to swallow it too often. So it's really impressive that it doesn't matter who's out there, that they understand those fundamentals, Juice, and that they stay disciplined.
Cumulatively in three games for the Dolphins this preseason, 11 penalties, less than 100 yards of penalty yardage. So
it's insane.
With 90 guys, 80 guys in the roster, you think you'd have more procedural penalties or just things that you got to iron out, communication kinks. I tweeted about this at practice the other day. They had a snap that the Dolphins lined up and put the crowd noise on for the first rep of practice, and the snap went flying over Tua's head. And I tweeted about it, and fans were telling me, oh, terrible sign. I said, no, it's not a terrible sign. Get it out right now. Let's do it right now, right? Juice, like, this is a time of the year where you kind of iron some of these things out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I remember when Coach Flo first got here, I remember that wall, the TNT yep. wall that takes no talent. That's one of those things that takes no talent to stay on side, you know the snap count, you know, just things like that, the little penalties that kill you, put you behind the sticks. But, yeah, you're right, man. Crowd noise I used to love the crowd noise part of everything, man. That was so much fun to even, you know, see what they were pumping in. It made no sense. It didn't sound like any crowd I ever played against or played at, you know. But at the same time, though, you know, when you're looking at going on the road for that first game and it's going to be loud, especially in a third down or tough down situations, get that out of the way is right. Get all that stuff out of the way and work it. You're not going to just show up on Sunday and be able to handle that sort of thing. So get it out of the way and practice right now. No matter how many veterans you have or guys that have done it before, you know, you still have to work all those different situations. I'm starting to help coach like a high school football team right now, and I'm amazed at how little they do in terms of those little things. But I said, look, I watched the pros practice. They do so many of the little things over and over and over again, so it's like second nature. And I said, at this level, we have to do it in high school for sure. But to see the pros do it and practice that stuff over and over again, because it becomes second nature, and you don't have to worry about those things moving forward.
Seth, you're a big body language guy for coach, and anybody that does press conferences, you like to pick up on that stuff. I had a question for him once, and anytime you ask coach a question, for me personally, I'm always hoping I get that like that twinkle in his eye where he realizes that's a good question, and he gives me a good answer.
What do you think your batting average is on that?
I'm hoping 500.
Okay.
Half would be good. Okay. I feel like I'm about in that range.
All
but
right.
This one, we're up in Chicago, and it's a makeshift press room for me and a couple other of the beat guys. And I ask him a question about, what do you change up on these joint practices? And I could see the look in his eye when I said, what do you change up? And he was like, Travis, we do fundamentals, we do techniques, we do alignment assignment, we execute. And I was just like, all right, yeah, I learned my lesson there from coach. So they, like you said, they practice it and they execute it, Seth.
Yeah, I mean, and it shows.
Yeah.
It shows in the results. I mean, that's really what it is. And if we've seen nothing from Brian Flores in two seasons plus one preseason, he is a consistent individual who has his process. You know, we hear trust the process. I think at this point we have to. You know, he's done nothing but improve this team, this roster, every year, every day. That's been, you know, that's been his mantra. And in all those little things, that could be what, 1, 2, 3 wins a season, juice.
Yeah.
That could be a few points a game. All those little pieces matter. Yes, you need to have the best players. Yes, you need to hit the home runs. We talk about it all the time, you know, and the things you need to do to improve the roster, have a great game plan. But you can't give away yards, points, and ultimately games because you're not fundamentally sound or you're undisciplined. And we've seen that here before. Right. And, you know, without going into who, we have seen that here before under different regimes.
Yep.
And so far, that is not something that you're going to see with Coach Flores at the helm.
I remember a previous coach saying, you can't blame the penalties on the head coach. It's like, well, who do you want to blame?
Yeah. Who said that?
Who are you going to blame him on? So we got
who
plenty,
would say that?
I'm going to take your plea the fifth option on this one, Seth, going that, with that route here. But we have plenty more to come here on the Dolphins fifth quarter postgame show. We're going to get to surprise guys that played more reps tonight than we thought, give out some game balls, hear from coach, and plenty more of that. Again, the final score from Paul Brown Stadium. Dolphins take it 29-26. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
This is the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
You're listening to the Dolphins on the Joe, WQAM, with Joe Rose and Zach Kranz, weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
Have an extra couple of minutes? Try Totino's pizza rolls in the air fryer for extra crispy deliciousness. Those crispy bite-sized poppable bursts of pizza. Totino's pizza rolls. It's Totino's or game over. And guys, we ended last segment talking about some guys that surprised us as far as what they did on the field and their production and the Dolphins as a whole getting out of this preseason relatively healthy, relatively productive, and focusing on those fundamentals and techniques. But I wanted to come to something else here we talked about earlier in the show, OJ, because you had said you were surprised to see, as we're watching this game in the third quarter, Nick Needham still on the football field, a cornerback who's played over 1,000 snaps in his career through two seasons. You surprised to see Nick Needham out there that long?
Yeah, I was. I really was, because, you know, you look at all the guys. You talk about, what'd you say, 35 guys didn't even put on the pads today.
It's crazy.
You know, and I thought Nick might be one of those guys as well, because he's kind of proven himself to be our nickel, quarter, dime guy on the inside. But I thought if he was going to be out there playing a lot, he'd be playing more on the outside to get some work there. But
yes,
the fact that he was working that inside slot, which he's, I think he's, I mean, he's gotten, in my opinion, so much better inside. He seemed like he's always been a guy that's kind of been in position, not making plays. But the first couple games, I thought he'd shown as much as a lot of the other starters have in those positions.
I agree, Juice.
And the fact that he got so much burn today, you know, hey, like I said, in Flo I trust. But I was shocked to see Nick out there so much playing his natural position for well over half, you know. I thought he'd earn that T-shirt and shorts and ball cap and sunflower seeds.
But, I wonder if he thought so.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Unless he did something all week and coach was like, yo, you know what? You're going to get some worry. Who knows what happened? You know, he might have got a little doghouse, but, I don't want to speculate. But, no, he actually went out there, had a few tackles, made some plays. But sometimes also you want to bring some type of stability to that secondary too. Mm-hmm. So if you got a whole bunch of guys that haven't played together, it's nice
somebody
to have a guy like Nick
down,
that
Juice.
Knows everything that's going on out there. Can probably get guys in the right position, make the right checks, help them with that stuff when you got a bunch of young guys out there. So it could go a lot of different ways, but I was really shocked to see him get so many snaps.
You think he might have been making calls out there?
He could have been in secondary helping them out, or safety, whoever else could have been making the calls, and maybe Nick could be correcting them if they're not the right calls, you know? But you got to give those guys those opportunities to make those plays and hopefully they make the right ones.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing, and as soon as you brought it up, and I just didn't know. I know we run a lot of defensive backs in this defense, but that's, as you said, it's probably our number three guy, by a long shot. So it was surprising to see him there, but what I loved to see, Juice, was he wasn't playing like he thought he should have the shorts and the T-shirt. He was playing like he was trying to make the roster.
Yeah.
So
yes.
So that's impressive to see from a guy who's had such a great
game.
That's
how he always plays.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why he's on this team.
Exactly right. And, you talk about Nick Needham. I'm thinking about this press conference from Coach Flores a couple years ago when he had a kind of back and forth with one of the media members who mentioned Nick Needham's comeuppance, as it were, as an undrafted free agent who had a couple of games of production. And it kind of just reminds me of his management of the whole perception around a player, because he does not want guys reading their press clippings, Juice. Mm-hmm. He wants to keep them hungry and motivated. And like we said, that's the kind of player Nick Needham is. So it seems like, to me at least, hey, you haven't earned your stripes. You have to earn your stripes every single day, I should say. It's not just about coming out here and living off your reputation, right?
Yeah, and honestly, man, these guys want to play. I joke about it all the time.
You wanted to play in the last preseason
well,
game?
Big Seth, I always joke about it. There's only two fun days, man. It's Sundays and paydays.
Right.
Man, you know what I mean? So if you got a chance to strap it up and play in a game, that's kind of fun, no? I mean,
it sounds like it to me, a guy who would never – I could barely get on the field on an intramural game at the University of Florida. But hold on. You got to tell me that O.J. McDuffie back in 1998 or something.
Oh, 90, you're talking 98.
Okay, let's go 94. Let's go 94.
Yeah.
That if they were like, hey, Juice, this is the fourth preseason game. It's the third quarter of the fourth preseason game. Get out there. Go get them. You'd be like, yeah, go. All right, coach, I'm in. I love it.
Right, because I was fifth-string wide receiver that year.
Come on, man. Come
damn
on.
Damn right. Let me get some opportunities. Let me get some burn right now, man. Let me dust up this dude
with
Toledo. Nothing. There's anything
we'll
wrong with Toledo.
With that
let
story.
Me get him, though.
You guys talk about having fun. I've stood next to Raekwon Davis. That does not look fun to me at all. I don't want any part of getting out there 160 pounds soaking wet. But another huge player on this team that came into camp, and I could just marvel at the fact that how big he was as a first-year NFL player, and that I think is on your list here for our surprise players, Seth, is Jalen Phillips.
Yeah.
And he was out there a lot in this game. What did you think of his production and his play today?
He was out there a lot, and to be honest with you, I kind of wanted to see more Travis. And I'm excited about Jalen Phillips. I think all of South Florida is, right? Whenever you get a hurricane that becomes a dolphin, it doesn't happen often, probably doesn't happen enough for South Florida fans. And we're, the first first pass rusher, we should say, taken in the draft, and comes in with all the tools, all the measurables, and we were excited about this guy. Missed a lot of camp, missed a lot of camp, was banged up. We don't quite know why, what it was, and that's just the Dolphins' way. But, I wanted to see more last week. I wanted to see more this week. Quite frankly, I'd love to see him rush the passer. That's what we've come to love about him. I think it's a big reason why he got drafted as high as he did. But obviously there's other plans for him in this defense, or plans beyond just rushing the passer. We saw him dropping back into coverage a lot, Juice. You said you'd be licking your chops if there was a 260-pound guy trying to cover you in the slot.
Please try to cover me in the slot at that size, man. Let me see if you can change directions like you need to, because I know I can change directions,
Yeah.
It was kind of – what was crazy about Jalen, too, though, man, as a defense as a whole, we had zero sacks today. What I mean? We had three quarterback hits, and he had one of them. I want to see more from anybody in that front four, seven,
get after
five.
The quarterback.
So you remember last week though, we really brought some heat. I think we kind of toned it down a lot this year.
Well, we got one guy with four sacks.
Yeah, Guavin, Sam, Equivon was, you know, they were bringing him in different areas,
yeah,
in different slots. I think we didn't do as much of that this week.
Were we a little more vanilla? They didn't seem to be running all
until
the games.
That last drive. Yeah. They were like, "We're winning this damn game."
Gotta get in. Now we got to get at these guys. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I do. I want to see more. And I work for a pass rusher. I'd like to see a guy pin his ears back and get after the quarterback. And you know, I don't know. Maybe they know he can do that, and they want to see what he can do in coverage. Again, as you said, in flow we trust, and I'm not going to question, especially not on the defensive side of the ball. Right. But I know what I want to see. And we haven't seen what we believe Jalen Phillips can be yet. And so that's why I didn't mind the reps. You know, if he was in on that last drive and it was crunch time and he was trying to help keep the, you know, these guys away from getting that field goal to tie the game or get a last second Hail Mary touchdown, whatever it might be, I wouldn't have had a problem with it because I need to see more of Jalen Phillips.
And it goes back to what we talked about with the other rookies and younger players, even the second-year guys. I referred to Austin Jackson, Solomon Kinley, Robert Hunt getting 40 snaps in that first game. That kind of blew me away, but then it set this precedent for, okay, coach has an idea of how many reps he wants all these guys to get. And after Seth's first bit there on Jalen, I was going to ask you, Juice, to kind of play judge on this because I wanted to refute him, but it sounds like maybe you're on that side, so I have an uphill battle for myself here. But I did want to come back and mention, Seth covered it as well, what did Jalen Phillips do really well at Miami, at the University of Miami, I should say? He was a great pass rusher and a great run defender. He did not play in that two-point stance and go backwards at all, if ever. And so is this, we talked about this in the previous segment, is this a time of year where you kind of come in here and look at what I can refine, what I can work on, and really try to go to work on those things opposed to just showcasing the things that we know you can do?
Yeah, you know, we talked about this a little bit before last week. When you got some of these guys, some of these quarterbacks that come out of college and the pro teams make them do things that they didn't do in college that made him successful. So I just think, you know, maybe it's a smokescreen or whatever. I think at one point coming up, you know, Jalen Phillips is going to have his hand in the dirt, firing off the edge, right side or left side, it really won't matter, and he's going to be putting pressure on quarterbacks.
I hope
that's
so.
That's what we got him for. You know, that's why you let a Van Noy go. That's why you bring in and you keep some other guys that you have on your depth chart, you know, to play that defensive end or what outside linebacker, but your Van Ginkles and guys like that, to put your hand in the dirt and you know, wreak some havoc on some quarterbacks. And I think that's what we're going to end up doing with Jalen Phillips. So I think that they're testing other things. You know, see if he can drop back and cover. If he can't do it against the Bengals in preseason week number 3, then we won't make him do that. Don't put people in position to be unsuccessful. And I think that they were just testing things out. And who knows what they've done in practice in this situation.
Right.
You know, Travis, you've seen a lot of practice things. You know, maybe they saw it in practice and they want to work on it some more in a game type of situation. But we know one thing that he definitely can do, and that's get after quarterbacks. And we'll count on him to do that.
Yeah, we're 2 weeks away from finding out exactly what his role will be in this defense. And that, of course, will evolve as the season goes
along.
That's
what I was going to say. You may not – what you see week one may be very different the following week.
That's what Flores and Boyer both always say. We don't want to be the same team in December as we are in September, and that goes for every team across the league, of course. But I want to continue on the Jalen Phillips thing. We have a couple minutes here before break. And we'll get back to the segment on the other side. But we talked about this, and Seth, I literally walked from one side of the table over here over to you to show you a play, to give you my own X's and O's breakdowns, because there was a rep where, and this Dolphins team so often runs those three big defensive tackles, and they have four of them that are really, really good at it.
Right.
Christian Wilkins, Raekwon Davis, Zach Sealer, and Adam Butler can all play pretty much any position from the five technique all the way to the nose, Juice. They can play any spot and rush and run, defend the run as well. And in this particular moment, I saw the three big linemen. It wasn't those three guys, obviously, who were in the T-shirts and the basketball shorts on the sideline. But
three other big guys.
You run these 280-pound guys head up, and then you can do pick stunts. You can do different games and twists and slants. And there was a rep where Jalen Phillips crashes forward and then loops around the defensive tackle. And that lateral agility, I thought, was really good. But the other play that I noted to Seth was the play where he had the quarterback hit. He crashes in on the tight end who comes across the formation. It looks like he might wham him on that little dig-out block, but Jalen sees it and then takes a step upfield, keeps his eyes on the football, notices play-action pass, and gets the hit on the quarterback. And not just that, disrupts the play and gets an incompletion. So I saw some things that I thought showed some promise.
Oh, no doubt. I don't want – don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that, okay, this is – I'm not even going to go to the B word with bust, but – No, I just want to see more. I'm excited. Again, I'm excited to see Jalen Phillips play. That play you're talking about, that's what we want. You know, we want to see more of that. That was not only what you described in detail how he managed the tight end, but that closing speed to the quarterback. He got there in a hurry, and I forget who was in at the time, but he got rid of that rock. He wanted no part of Jalen Phillips coming downhill on him, and that's what I want to see more of. That's all I'm saying, is I'm excited for that. I want to see more of it. Missed a lot of time in training camp, and because he missed games and missed all that time, I want him out there. Yeah. I want to, I'll go back to Coach Flores. You get better at playing football by playing football. And so that's why I felt I wasn't as surprised. If nothing else, I wanted more of Jalen Phillips in this game.
Yeah, and I think the reps, every rep he gets, and I know we're against the break, every rep he gets in real game type situations is incredibly important for him. You know, you can do all you want to do in practice, man, but game reps, there's nothing like it. And seeing a different team, I know I hated going against our DBs because they knew every move I had. So it's good to go up against different teams that haven't seen what you have, and you can go out there and go to work. And it's going to be like that every week, 17 weeks straight.
And to drive that point home, week one is not the end-all, be-all. Week one's madness in the NFL. It always changes and evolves from there. So we have plenty of time for Jalen Phillips. Obviously, 4 years in that rookie deal, possible fifth-year option. That's way down the line. Plenty of football to come here for Jalen Phillips in Miami. Again, the final score today was Dolphins 29, Bengals 26. We'll pause for these words from your local station. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
This is the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
This is Dolphins Football on the Joe, WQAM. Listen to Hawk and Crowder weekday afternoons beginning at 2.
The Dolphins are back in action, and this season, you can be back in the stands to experience it all live. Get verified tickets from Ticketmaster, the official marketplace of the NFL, and you won't miss a single epic moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered, because selling your seats securely with Ticketmaster is as easy as a few taps. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. And we ended that segment, boys, talking a little bit about some of the guys we were surprised to see plenty of. But we also had a couple names on that list from guys we didn't see. And, 35 Dolphins in total juice didn't play in this game tonight. Plenty of, again, ball caps and sunflower seeds in the sidelines. Do you think it's a safe assumption to say that those guys that were not involved in the game action, are they on the roster? Are they safe?
Most of them are. I think most of those guys are safe. There are some guys that they might have seen enough of and they don't want to see any more of because they might have other plans for them as well. And they might have some guys that actually got all the playing time that they're trying to give them those positions. There are some guys, man, that honestly, that they go out there and, they get these opportunities and, they want to try to keep them healthy. They want to make sure, this time of year that they don't lose guys with certain injuries. But they could also have plans for some guys moving on to other teams, Travis, and you don't want to get them hurt in this last game either. You want to protect that asset possibly too. So you just never know the reason and why some guys, don't get the opportunity to go out there and play in this game. And I'm sure a lot of those guys that didn't play, Seth says that, most of these guys don't want to play. There are some guys that still have something to prove out there, and they want an opportunity to go out there and get some opportunities and to play today. And so,
so wait, you think there's some guys that were down that were like frustrated that they didn't go out there and get some reps and to put some more stuff on film?
Absolutely.
So, like who? Give me an example of somebody you think. Obviously, it's conjecture. There's no, you don't know this for sure. But who's somebody that you would put in that category in your opinion?
Oh, man. Well,
not to put you on the spot.
Honestly, do not have anybody specific that I would put in that position. But there are some guys that have been, buried on the depth chart. There are some guys that, maybe been out, banged up a little bit, didn't get a chance to play in the first or second game.
That's
gets
sure.
to this third game. They want to, go out there and play. It was nice to see guys like, Jared Doakes and, Patrick Laird playing a lot. But there's some other guys that want to probably get some opportunities too. You look at our top running backs. You look at Miles and you look at Malcolm and you look at Savon. They're pretty locked in. But then you got other guys that are fighting for that fourth position. It might not be as a running back per se, but it's going to be on teams. Even guys that didn't get a chance to play in their position, they still need to get on the team somehow to try to make that 53. So there are guys, honestly, that didn't. There's some guys that are secure and safe, but there's some also guys that need more looks and wanted more looks on game day.
So that's interesting when you say that, Juice, and I know I was kind of being silly beforehand, but now that you say it, look, I don't think Tua was watching Reed Sinnott and saying, oh boy, I better get my game together. I don't want to lose my spot. But there might be some guys, I don't know, if you're the fifth or sixth receiver, if you're the fifth or sixth receiver and you're watching this and you start to see what Merrick is doing, what Merritt is doing, or, you know, you mentioned Dokes and you're watching that, do you think, well, now I kind of wish I was out there? Is that where you're getting at?
Well, I'm thinking, think about our receivers in general. Got a lot of receivers didn't play at all this preseason.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So you see some of these other guys out there balling out, man. These guys, all these guys, and I go through this a lot on social media with people like, this guy stinks. This guy is terrible. None of these guys are terrible.
Right. Thank you.
You know, none of them are terrible. And that drives me crazier than anything.
I'm sure.
So when these guys do get opportunities, when you're sitting in the tub trying to make the club and these guys are on the field making plays, then you have to start thinking about
it. Start to feel the heat.
You have to. Especially guys that have been in and out of the tub a lot. You got to worry about some of these young guys that are out there every single day in practice, every single snap during the games. You should be a little bit concerned out there. So, yeah, there's some guys that didn't play today for certain reasons, but half of them should be concerned.
I think about a guy like Mac Hollins, who just completely seized the opportunity that he was afforded this offseason,
sure
this training
did.
Camp, mm-hmm. based upon DeVonte Parker, Will Fuller, Albert Wilson, Preston Williams. All these guys are down, and the Dolphins' offense is clicking on all cylinders without them, and it's because of guys like Mac Hollins that came out and made plays. And Seth, something we talked about earlier was this, you know, go back over the first 2 years of Brian Flores' tenure here. I remember 2019 being at training camp. I couldn't pick 53 guys that I wanted to keep on the
right,
roster.
Right.
Now I've got 65 that I don't want to get rid of, and it's a tougher roster to crack. And so kind of to Deuce's point here, I'm looking at some spots like, for instance, two of the guys we didn't talk about was Jakeem Grant and Jacoby Brissett. I thought we'd see Jacoby just because, like you mentioned, Reed played the entire game, and good for him, and he balled out.
He's feeling it right
and
now,
felt
too.
Every bit of it. And then Jakeem Grant, kind of like Deuce had mentioned, you know, we talk about this receiving position being so deep, is there maybe some draft capital within that receiver's room the Dolphins can get in return, because they can't keep them all, but maybe they can get some value back in return for those guys. So I thought that was an interesting dynamic. But then just the competitions we saw on the roster. I think you mentioned Jared Dokes. Man, what a big day he had. 16 carries, 56 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And, you know, I'm looking at not just for roster spots, but for work and reps and what situations you get yourself in the game, because, we've got, again, it's exhibition football. Malcolm Brown's an accomplished back, and Jared Dokes is a rookie, obviously. But you put those two guys as goal line carries against each other, Juice. To me, one guy stood out and the other guy didn't as much.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you what, man. I mean, Jared Dokes, man, being back in Cincinnati, you know, where he played his college ball, man, you could tell how pumped up he was. Seth was at the Cincinnati game I played in.
I was, back in 95,
kid, you know, back
man.
In Ohio, man, so you get so pumped up, man. But those reps are important, man, and, you know, they notice it. You know, trust me, the coaches are looking at all this stuff. Now, we're down there in 4th and 1 anywhere or on the goal line. Who's pushing the pile? You know, who's the back we want to give the ball to that's going to get us those tough yards, or an offensive lineman that can move somebody that we can run behind? And Jared Dokes shows that he can be that guy that's going to get you, you know, a 1 or 2 yards when there's nothing there. You know, so you got to think about that when some of these other guys that, like, are talking about are in shorts and T-shirts or getting some of those reps. You know, another guy that we didn't even talk about who played it at the very beginning was Preston Williams.
Yes.
You know, P-Dub got a little bit of burn, but I bet he wanted to play a lot more and get more opportunities because of what's been going on.
Yeah.
You know, the young guys
that's
that have
fair.
Been playing so much and playing well, you know, you still haven't seen Devontae much or Fuller much or Albert much. So I know Preston had to be wanting to go out there and play well today, even though we didn't hardly see much of him either.
Yeah, so I was going to say, did they even look at him?
Two targets, no receptions.
Yeah. So those, man, dude, there's some nervous guys on that plane right now.
Yeah.
I promise you that. There's some nervous guys
especially
on that plane.
Especially in that position group.
Yeah. So, I mean, some guys are okay with whatever, but there's a lot of guys that are like, man, we've worked so hard ever since February and March, and now, you know, come this week, I could be out of a job or playing for somebody else, you know. So it's going to be interesting.
Are there some other spots that you guys thought were interesting competitions as far as whether it's for work in the regular season, as far as reps and situations you get the football or you get snap counts, or as far as making the roster? Was there some other stuff? Because, you know, you mentioned Preston Williams versus Kirk Merritt there. I mean, 2 targets for Preston, no catches. Kirk had 3 catches for 72 yards, a touchdown, a 44-yard catch, and he had that almost a second touchdown where he broke a couple of tackles. And, you know, that's been, to me, a continuation of what we saw in training camp from Kirk Merritt. I mean, I know a lot of big Preston Williams fans out there, but personally, I'm not keeping Kirk Merritt off the football team. What do you guys think about his standing and what it might mean for Preston?
Yeah, I think Kirk's doing a great job, man. He really is. And here's the thing about it, though, too. I've had some teammates that were all pro in the preseason.
Sure.
training camp and games, and then they get into the real games, and it's a whole different ball game. You know, it really is. You really don't see as much in the, you know, in the preseason as you're going to see in week one in New England. You know, and Preston Williams has been there. He's played in real games, real life situations.
And produced.
And produced big time. So, you know, it is an interesting dynamic. But I'm with you when it comes to, you know, to Merritt. Merritt's earned a spot on this team. He's going to probably be more of a gunner on punt team. He's going to be one of those guys that flies down on kickoff team. But we also feel comfortable if we were to go, you know, somebody goes down as a wide receiver, we're comfortable putting him in there. And I'm sure the quarterbacks are as well, you know. And I know that Jacoby works well with him, you know, because he's worked a lot with number twos. And you see how Reed works well with him. So why wouldn't Tua be able to work well with him too, you know. So I think that's a guy that for sure has earned a spot on the roster.
There it is.
Yeah, I think
general manager OJ McDuffie says he's putting Kirk Merritt on.
Nowhere close to what Chris Greer is.
I'll get the text to Chris. Is,
but yeah, I'm just.
But if you were picking this team, if you were putting it together,
Merritt's on the team,
and you are a guy who knows a little bit about the wide receiver position.
Yeah, and you know what else I saw about Merritt too is I watched him run routes. He's sharp. He's precise with his route running. Catches the ball well. You know, things like that, man, that you see that a guy that can play the position. Some guys just fast. Some guys just big. When you see a guy that's got some quickness, catches the ball well, and runs great routes, I love it. I love watching him work.
He won a high school competition. It was a Nike Spark Score athletic competition out of high school. He won the whole thing out of every kid in the country that was there. So certainly an athlete, and that practice production is carrying over into games because I'm telling you guys, every single day at practice, like you mentioned, Juice, whether it's Jacoby Brissett, Reed Sinnott, or even Tua Tagovailoa, he did get some work with the ones throughout the course of training camp, earned those promotions, and he earned them well, and he produced with all those guys. So to see him make that climb, that to me, it's almost message sending to the rest of your roster to say, you put the work in, you produce, and you get yourself these promotions, you're going to wind up getting paid off for it. And I think he's going to be one of the guys coming up in our segment here, the game balls. We are kind of working out some kinks.
Think,
a little bit of the kinks in the preseason for us too. We had, I think, 6 game balls. OJ was saying they ran out of damn balls for the team after that, after a couple of preseason games. But we're going to go one each and then a collective game ball here coming up. We'll have audio from Coach and the QB, Reed Sinnott. Send it to win it. Again, the final score, Bengals 26, Dolphins 29. We'll pause for these words from your local station. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
This is Miami Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
This is Dolphins Football on the Joe, WQAM. Listen to Hawk and Crowder weekday afternoons beginning at 2.
Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live. Award-winning dining at Cypresso and Council Oak and much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. Let's pause 10 seconds so our stations can identify themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins.
Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
And Odyssey Station.
Again, the final score today from Paul Barron Field in Cincinnati, Dolphins 29, Bengals 26. We'll pause for these words from your local station. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
This is the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
This is Dolphins Football on the Joe, WQAM. Listen to Hawk and Crowder weekday afternoons beginning at 2.
Dolphins take the preseason finale in Cincinnati 29-26. And the final drive of the game for Miami was certainly exciting, but it got going early on in the game. A 13-play drive, 74 yards, and 7 minutes and 9 seconds off the clock, capped off by a Jared Doakes touchdown run. The Lexus drive of the game is brought to you by your South Florida Lexus dealers, who encourage you to experience amazing. And Doakes on that run, he sure powered through some players into the end zone for the Dolphin touchdown.
In it under center. He gives it to Doakes up the middle, pushes toward the goal line,
come on,
and he's in for a touchdown.
Oh, boy. How about that push on that right side? Plus, the big rookie just puts his head down and says, I'm going to get it in there.
The Lexus drive of the game is brought to you by your South Florida Lexus dealers, who encourage you to see, hear, feel and experience amazing. And guys, that was the Dolphins third stringers up against the Bengals, a mix of first and second stringers. We talked about that earlier in the show, but Juice, it sure is good to see the guys get out there and compete regardless of the competition.
Absolutely, man. It's nice to get out there, you know, and show what you can do. And it's nice to go out there and show some of our depth at certain positions, especially at the running back position. And Jared Doakes, he's a big kid. Let's be real here.
With a hard head.
Yeah, he's a big kid, man. And, you know, I just remember seeing some of the stuff around draft time. We were getting this guy, and I was like, well, I've never heard of him. And I started following him a little bit on some of the social media stuff. And, man, he's a big kid. 6 foot, 230 pounds, running downhill and trying to punish somebody. I mean, that's good stuff. And that's how you finish a drive. You know, you're talking about 13 plays, 74 yards over 7 minutes. That's half a quarter. And then punch it in like that, I bet that's one of the better drives than the flow. Flow probably appreciate that drive more than a four-play, 74-yard pass, you know, with a touchdown, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I mean, the easy thing would have been to pick that final drive with the pass to the go-ahead score. But that was workmanlike, and that probably, as you said, executed the offense the way they want to see it run, gave you more opportunities to see guys on film and evaluate them. And it also was consistent with what we saw in the first two preseason games with the number ones. You know, those 11 and 12 play drives that Tua led. Yeah. And so I think that that's a great choice for drive of the game. And something we didn't see in that first game was, just as you said, Juice, punching it in once you got inside the five-yard line.
Yeah, you know what I love most about that drive? There was really never a bad down and distance situation in there. You know, our worst down and distance, I think, was 3rd and 8 on that drive, which isn't bad.
It's not terrible.
A couple 3rd and 6s, all converted, obviously, you know, and you get in the end zone. So playing ahead of the sticks, you know, being on time in terms of your drive and, you know, manageable situations, that's a perfect way to play football right there. Not only that, but you got big guys on our offensive line wearing guys down the other side of football. And, you know, just imagine that. That's what our twos and threes there. If our number ones can carry on that same type of mentality, you know, put these long drives together, man, wear some people down, especially down here in the Florida heat. It was hot in Cincinnati as well. It was warm up there too. So we're kind of used to that. We're good with that stuff, you know. So we'll see. I love the way they put that drive together and how they stayed on time with it.
Yeah, you know what? You say that, Juice and Travis, we've been talking a lot about the players, right? We've been talking a lot about the players. But I think we also have to give some credit to George Godsey and Eric Studisville. This is their first opportunity as co-offensive coordinators. What's that going to look like? I've liked what I've seen in the preseason, guys.
We're going to come back and get to your guys' game balls after this. Again, the final score was Dolphins 29, Bengals 26. We'll pause for these words from your local station. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.